Welcome to Blacklisted Radio. Back it's the ninth day of July 2017. I'm your host, Doug Owen, and you can go to my website dedicated to the show. It's called blacklistedradio.com. It's the hub. We have all sorts of cool features on the house, including an interactive chat room. Lots of cool stuff there. All the podcasts, archives you can find free of charge at blacklistedradio.com. I'm the senior editor of blacklistednews.com, from which we derive many of the stories, many of the talking points for this program. We love to hear from you. It's a two-way conversation, as always. It's really your show. 800-313-9443. You can also text us. 512-222-3067 is the number to do that. So much to get to. Of course, we had the G20 meeting, the much-anticipated globalist conclave, where, well, you know, we've had at least, what, 3-4 days of constant, persistent rioting, people being beaten and shot with water cannons, of course, anarchists, anti-globalists, as the Boston Globe puts it, are the culprits in all of this. So it's pretty interesting. Of course, Hamburg, this came out today. Activists riot against G20 summit for third night in Hamburg. Germany, anti-globalization activists rioted for a third consecutive night in Hamburg early Sunday, and even after the group of 20 leaders had already left the port city in northern Germany. So, of course, it's not anarchists. It's not leftists. It's the anti-globalists. And, of course, you know, they'd love to paint all the ne'er-do-wells, the people that voted for Brexit, as the people that are, you know, causing trouble, starting fires, throwing cobblestones and steel rods at police. Pretty amazing stuff. 225 people have been detained, 186 people arrested, and according to officials, 476 officers have been injured in the violence since Thursday. So that's what's happening on the ground. Let's talk about Trump meeting with Putin. A lot of people have said a lot of things about this, and this all coming off of the memetic war that has been happening. Memes. If you're not familiar with memes, you may be now, because it's now internet culture touching people, regular people, in a lot of new ways. Doxing, a word that a lot of people probably didn't know until this week, the genesis of it was that there is this stupid meme. We talked about it briefly. I hate to talk about it again. We did it last week. But this guy put a CNN logo on top of a character that Donald Trump is wrestling in a WWE thing he did. The media freaked out, saying that Donald Trump was calling for violence. And, I mean, just so much hyperbolic nonsense coming out of the mainstream media. It was hard to stomach. So, of course, Alex Jones now has a contest going for the best, you know, pro-Trump, anti-CNN, kill the fake media meme contest, and people are getting a few thousand bucks. Pretty funny stuff coming out of it, quite honestly. But the media was – CNN journalists were discussing whether or not – Jake Tapper as well – whether or not they should – reveal the identity of this guy. CNN and their crack staff went to work and figured out who this Reddit user was. And apparently he's been putting out, you know, heinous, bigoted memes. Go to 4chan, that's what it is, all of it. So no surprise there, and it really doesn't matter, you know, who created the meme. The fact that Donald Trump tweeted, it became this huge row. So rather than talking about Russian collusion and the Russian meddling in the election, the media focused on that for several days. Now we saw the just so many people thinking that this 2-hour conversation between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, or maybe it was only an hour, was the most important thing. I mean, all of the just fictitious headlines: Melania Trump stuck in her hotel room because of the rioters. Vladimir Putin flew an extra 300 miles in the wrong direction just to get there so he wouldn't have to go over certain NATO countries. Ooh, you know, all of this misdirection and the focusing on, you know, who would shake Trump's hand first? Where was he? Was he posturing? Is he in front of the French president? Oh, look, the French president doing everything he can to grovel to Donald Trump. You know, I've seen a lot of analysis of the body language from the people involved, the G20 leaders, and you know, whether or not Melania had to go in and break up Donald Trump and Putin's love fest that was happening. I mean, that's an actual headline. Meanwhile, fire in the streets. People are just besides themselves. And out there, just, you know, it feels good when you have the unemployment rates that you have in Europe, when you have all the social strife. And then, of course, the fruits. Let's be honest, the fruits of globalization, whether or not they're anti-capitalist, anarchist, the things that are affecting them are, you know, globalist policies, failed policies that have brought Europe to its knees in a lot of ways. So Donald Trump was allegedly pressed Vladimir Putin on whether or not he interfered in the elections. I mean, you know, what is he going to say, quite honestly? So, Vlad, did you make it happen? Did you throw the election for me? Or were you involved? Was there some shenanigans going on? Oh, yes. No. Don't worry about it, Comrade Trump. It's okay. Don't worry. I mean, I don't know what people really want from that. But one thing that they're not talking about is that the U.S. and Russia agreed to a ceasefire in southwest Syria. According to Lavrov, the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov of Russia, made that announcement. You know, Donald Trump, it doesn't matter if he did anything good there or not, he will not get the credit in the mainstream media's eye. And, you know, everybody's more worried about what Melania is wearing and whether or not his daughter, she attended one of the global summit meetings, which is probably just a, you know, a picture, a meeting for pictures and handshaking and, you know, glad handing type event, which probably didn't have that much, you know, significance, but you know, anything they can do. Trump leaves a lot of low hanging fruit for the mainstream media and those who hate him to, you know, easily gravitate to and grab onto. He likes to golf. I mean, that's where you get a lot of business done. So it doesn't shock me that he spends as much time as he does golfing. But the same people that were just infuriated by Barack Obama vacationing and all, you know, all the people that keep up with how many days he's vacationing. How many days? This dirtbag president. No, it's no big deal. It's fine. It's Donald Trump. He's getting things done. This is okay. When Barack Obama was out there with billionaires, golfing, big problem. So, Plenty of hypocrisy there when it comes to not my guy. Or, you know, if you're, you know, all in for Trump, I mean, the one thing that I think a lot of people do appreciate about him, especially probably those that are in the counterculture, other than, you know, Jeff Sessions wanting to go after, you know, legal cannabis. I mean, some of the other things that are probably pretty heinous in the minds of freedom-loving Americans. Is that, you know, he is the contrarian. He doesn't do it their way. He will tweet the most ridiculous things that seem very unpresidential. I mean, it's his Twitter account. He can put out what he wants to. People are like, oh my God, it was the official POTUS Twitter account that he was using, you know, as if there's some esteemed Twitter handle that's, you know, the whole world's watching Donald Trump. And when you put out things like that, you know, baby starve and, you know, whatever. Needless to say, you had some other opportunists, people like New York Mayor de Blasio. He went to Germany, to Hamburg, to be with other anti-capitalist protesters that were gathering on Friday. And, you know, his own constituents probably wonder how much, you know, he's focused on serving them rather than ideas. And that's what it's about. I mean, this guy is definitely anti-capitalist, anti-gun, I mean, pro-central government at its finest, and believes that, you know, the only people that should have any kind of protection are police officers. The rest of you are serfs. And he said as much in some of the, you know, taxing and whatnot, which, you know, I don't know. How much soda do you really need per day? But at what point does the government decide how much soda you get per day? Those are the kind of Bloomberg and de Blasio policies, no matter how unconstitutional they are, that they've been pushing. So I guess my grander point, if there is one, is that he's an ideologue. He's an ism guy. He's all about, you know, he's worried more about sanctuary cities and the amount of EPA funding that's, you know, going to help fight global warming than he really is the citizens of New York. So I think that's one thing a lot of people probably took away from it. He's facing an upcoming election. So, yeah, you should probably worry about things that are happening, you know, in New York City and in the state of New York, in the United States. But, of course, you know, global warming is such a much larger issue than any one of us, than politics itself. And, you know, I mean, I always go back to, but what are you going to do? Carbon credit schemes, other scams like Solyndra and government and NGO-funded escapades into, you know, these private technology companies. I mean, what does that mean? More taxes on me? That's usually what it means. And taxes, I guess, are I'm not a fan, but they're kind of a necessary evil, even if you're into minimalist government. So if you're going to tax people, I think that it should be spent appropriately. So one of the many things I could bag on when it comes to globalists and what we have today. So Syria was on the table, big topic for the G20. Of course, the European economy. We now have the potential for millions of African refugees to flood in. Even people like Bill Gates are now waving the white flag, ringing and sirening the alarm bells for this, you know, potential huge culture shock. I mean, it's just like, you know, with all the hype that's surrounding North Korea, the live firing drills that the U.S. was just doing has once again infuriated Dear Leader Jr. And I've talked about North Korea and the lack of solution, because quite honestly, if the North Korean regime failed, you would have over 32 million people, about the size of L.A., pour into Seoul, would pour into South Korea if they didn't, you know, blow the peninsula apart somehow in the process of that. So, I mean, it's definitely a real issue. The only power anyone really has over them is China. China, 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 China. China, I sound like Donald Trump. China has the ability to control their economy. They're one of their trading partners, one of the few trading partners that does business with China. I think that as much focus, that's put onto the U.S. and our human rights record and how appalling, and, you know, like the French president allowing EPA scientists to take refugee status and go to France. Just put up an article on blacklistednews.com and kind of highlights, where these other countries, these so-called, freedom-fighting countries that we want to do business with, people that we do business with. China bans all online LGBT content. So, I mean, they are moving forward with even more censorship. And you would think that you would hear the gay rights people talk about this more. I think that, you know, Saudi Arabia has become, you know, low-hanging fruit for that. group as well, because, you know, they don't allow women to drive. I mean, they're even more oppressive. But China has a big problem. Their one-child policy has created a situation where they have gendercide. And one of the solutions that they and the Russians believe in is that you cannot have gay TV shows that promote alternative lifestyles. You need to focus on building families. And population growth is a big deal in Russia and in China, because you have tons of males. Tons of males, very, very few females, because if you can only have one kid, you want somebody that's going to be able to produce, work at the farm, work at the factory. You want men. And so people would literally drown their baby daughters and wait until they could have that one boy. So some of that's kind of out of the relevance now. I think that they've done away with the one-child policy, but you still have the remnant of that. So China and Russia have signed on to this agreement to create their own media empire to rival the U.S.'s Western media domination, which, you know, is kind of laughable because I just think about, you know, that the fact that RT, which does do some fine reporting, which does have a very pro-Russian tint to it, obviously, because it is a state-funded media organization. They have no credibility, you know, in the U.S. All you have to say is, oh, they're Russian. Oh, Russian. Who trusts them? Anyway, they make this sound like it's going to be some new front to fight U.S. propaganda. But quite frankly, the truth is that this is a justification for more consolidation over the Chinese and Russian media, creating some kind of anti-Western propaganda, which is probably what it will be for their domestic population. You know, blame all your problems and all the things that are going on the West. It's an easy thing to do because, you know, we've had our hands in a lot of, you know, bad things for a long time. Not that any country is innocent of that. You know, it's like all we're the Russian spying. Of course they're spying. It's called statecraft. It's what governments do. We were monitoring the French elections. We've been monitoring just about every election that's happened that we could get our hands into probably for the last, you know, 65 years. And before that, I mean, now we have electronic communication. We can, you know, probably geo-track and watch where each and every world leader, all the G20 and below, go on a daily basis. It's important to U.S. interests. Got to know who you're talking about. Got to know who they're doing business with, what companies they've been using, the central banking system as a spying agency. And there's plenty of CIA startup companies that are part of NQTEL and the like, the black budget, that are dedicated to building those networks inside of other countries. Not to mention all the stuff that Edward Snowden obviously relayed to us. And, you know, the Five Eyes group, do you know much about it? Probably not. Nobody does. It's a secretive co-op of intelligence gathering and sharing between the five top Western nations: the U.S., Israel, Australia, and a few others, and a couple of European nations, and probably Canada too. And we have no idea what they're doing. They're just now about to have to. If they're sued, they're being sued, the U.S. government may have to, you know, shed some light on these secretive groups. But, I mean, that just explains how, I mean, even what we know is so limited to compare it to what you know, is probably happening today in the surveillance industry. So we just get a small preview, guys. Quick break. We'll be back on the other side. You can be part of it. 800-313-9443. It's Blacklisted Radio.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, welcome back into Blacklisted Radio. So, well, beyond, I guess, Syria, and we're still hearing the same claims. We know that Assad gassed his own people. The mainstream media is going into overdrive trying to smear or really just ignore Seymour Hersh's bombshell story and research that completely debunked the Syrian gas story. Of course, it only takes common sense. Most of you have it. That's why you're listening to this station. You're listening to this podcast. To understand that, that defeats the purpose. Why would you do the one thing that would bring the U.S. into the Syrian civil war? I would call it a proxy war, because most of the people they are fighting are not of Syrian descent. You have people from all over the Middle East that are being paid by different factions that are fighting for different causes on the ground. Yeah, the Iranians are definitely involved. The Saudi Arabians are most certainly involved. And you have the really awkward allegiance between the United States and ISIS in that they both want the same outcome, an ousting of Bashar al-Assad. So Seymour Hersh, anyway, put this out. If you haven't read about it, it's pretty good. I mean, it was in The Guardian it really shed a lot of light on why all of the experts that have come forward and said, look, this just doesn't make any sense. We don't have the proof. This is it's just there is no there. And of course, we know the Syrian gas boy, some of the other propagandist tools that have been used to justify the U.S. intervention. And as it's forced the U.S. and Russia into this relationship, this protected no-fly zone. So we found out more about that. The New York Times, by the way, finally corrected its bogus claim that Iran sponsored the 9/11 attacks in its dubious reporting, a lawsuit alleging Iranian meta-involvement in 9/11. The New York Times badly misunderstood the case and maintained for more than 3 years in the paper record that the government of Iran sponsored the September 11, 2001 attacks. The belated correction issued late Wednesday night on two widely spaced articles on the topic unceremoniously noted that Iran did not, in fact, help commit the 9/11 attacks. So I think I brought this up just a few weeks ago, that there's lawsuits suing the Iranian government. They're like, you know, this is absurd. Yeah, obviously, the U.S. government, I mean, when you talk about 9/11 being an inside job, 28 pages and some of the unredacted, declassified documents we see prove that the U.S. knew that people within the Saudi Arabian government had financed the terrorist 9/11, and the U.S. government did everything it could to keep that a secret from us and keeping more of that a secret. So there's your collusion. Did the United States government collude with the Saudi Arabians to cover up what happened on 9/11, to blame it on Iran, to invade Iraq, to go into Afghanistan? Probably. Another story that is well worth discussing, Russ Baker, the writer who brought us Family of Secrets, did a great job with an article on whowhatwhy.com, his website, talking about George Bush and his former ghostwriter. Of course, you know, when presidents and a lot of famous people write books, they don't really write the book. Somebody sits around, they talk to them, that person writes the book, they stamp it, they pay him some money, get him some royalties, and then they probably buy a truckload of books for themselves so that way it can get on the New York Times best-selling list. Anyway, 2 years before 9/11, candidate Bush was already talking privately about attacking Iraq, according to his former ghostwriter. He was thinking about invading Iraq in 99, said author, journalist McKee Herskowitz, quote, "It was on his mind. He said to me, quote, one of the keys to being seen as a great leader is to be seen as a commander in chief. And he said, quote, my father had all this political capital built up when he drove the Iraqis out of Kuwait and he wasted it. He said, if I have my chance to invade, if I had that much capital, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to get everything passed that I want to get passed, and I'm going to be a successful president." Herskowitz said that Bush expressed frustration at a lifetime as an underachiever in the shadow of his accomplished father. In aggressive military action, he saw the opportunity to emerge from his father's shadow. The moment, Herskowitz said, came in the wake of the September 11th attacks. Suddenly, he's at 91% in the polls, and he barely crawled out of the bunker. It goes on. And he talks about this. No shocking revelation. The orders were already on the table. They were ready to go. All they needed was an attack, and it happened so advantageously for the neocon warmongers to reshape and rebuild the new America, the project for a new American century. In doing that, laying to waste, you know, a million plus Iraqis, hundreds of thousands of children, in the aggregate, trillions of dollars. And, well, I don't know how it's working over there. It's only been 16 years, September 11, 2001. And, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of liberals that love George Bush again. People are easily raked over the coals. And that is unfortunate. You're not. That's why you're here. I want to thank you for being part of the show. We'll be back with more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Blacklisted Radio.
Nutramedical's new True Silver is a new Angstrom Silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
A lot of people were commenting about the Russian / Chinese new media plan to this new government media initiative, which you can only imagine. I mean, government media and having some kind of alliance. We won't say nasty things about you. We'll only talk crap about, you know, Donald Trump and the Ukrainians or whatever it may be. Don't worry. We've got an alliance. We'll find some government funding, and we'll have our own voice of America. You know, not that there isn't plenty of domestic propaganda. This FOIA request shows that the CIA / Pentagon made 1,800 movies, TV shows to make America love war, according to Claire Burdish. This story hit the street this week, and there was a bunch of people actually following it. Actually saw the Boston Herald. Did a little piece on it, which was shocking. Hollywood magic doesn't percolate only in the minds of legendary producers and acclaimed directors to be brought to life on the big and television screens, where actors' adept performances capture our imaginations. Rather, if the plot pertains to the military, it's more likely the Department of Defense has had a hand in the script. From Meet the Parents and America's Got Talent to Cupcake Wars and Zero Dark Thirty, even Iron Man, Oprah, Patriot Games, James Bond's thriller, Tomorrow Never Dies. If the production pertains to the war machine or surveillance state, it's a veritable guarantee government has significantly influenced the final product. Censorship apparently reigns more supreme over Hollywood than we ever surmised. 1,800 movies. I mean, it is kind of shocking. meaning the CIA and the Pentagon, are always putting a pro-tint, anti-Russian stint currently into the narratives. I mean, if you just watch Modern Family, you watch any of these shows, I mean, there's always these little jokes. The Simpsons have tons of them. Family Guy has all sorts of little jabs at the Ruskies. So, House of Cards, it's a great series. A lot of things that parallel the current state of geopolitics that you'll find all these little nuggets in there, and it's not a mistake, or you're not just finding writers that are injecting this. They're actually getting paid. We've talked about it a lot, but this recent revelation really does highlight how much the CIA and the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, the FBI, and other military and domestic policing there is invested in this. So plenty of money for, how you always wonder, how do those crappy Hollywood flicks keep getting made? Who's paying for these things? If you look at this and you kind of distill it, you'll see there is a lot of money, millions of dollars to get spent on keeping you in love with war and the war machine. The war machine keeps turning, and that means that we need to be patriotic, to support the machine. You have to pay your taxes. If you don't, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. I didn't mention this earlier, but one of the G20, one of the questions was, why is Donald Trump going to Poland? Other than, he's one of the, probably one of the places that he's the most popular. Yes, they bust in people to make it look like, everything was hunky-dory. More, games, media perception, trying to, fake protesters. It happens, even in Poland. But an interesting story about Poland. This came out of the RT. Poland wants to become European hub for U.S. gas. President Duda, he let it out a month after the U.S. tanker carrying liquefied natural gas, LNG, arrived in Poland. Polish President Andrzej Duda has unveiled an ambitious plan to make the country a pan-European energy hub to distribute gas all across the EU. And, of course, who is doing that now? Russia. So they see the opportunity. Of course, we have been fracking the F out of the country, and there's plenty of liquefied natural gas that needs to be sold. U.S. market's too low, and the Europeans need it, and to be able to isolate Russia from that power position has to be essential to U.S. full spectrum dominance, to have a liberated Europe, a free Europe in their minds, free of if Putin gets upset, if Gazprom doesn't like it, if these governments don't pay the bill, they can turn off the tap. And that's one of the things they just don't like. And one of the many reasons I'm sure that Poland is, definitely in the crossfire. Another big story that happened this week didn't get a lot of attention. Recordings reveal FBI gave a man a rifle, urged him to carry out a mass shooting to defend Islam. There are just countless cases where the FBI has tried to push somebody into creating these horrific attacks. And you can always say, well, we didn't really mean it, and we're just doing that, to see if we could push him. And if he did, then, obviously he's a terrorist, and they put them in these unrealistic scenarios and sometimes keep them alive, pay for their apartments and their, weed and alcohol habits, get these guys drugs and get them, ready to go. But you see, this is another story of the creation of the boogeyman. In February 2006, the FBI announced they had foiled a terror plot by a man who was planning to kill at least 30 people to defend Islam. Americans cheered and everyone felt safer. The FBI had saved us from an extremist. Once again, However, that's not how things actually happen. For 2 months, two corrupt FBI informants goaded Hamza into obtaining weapons, according to his attorneys. Hundreds of hours of recorded conversations show the FBI pressed Hamza into getting these weapons and eventually began pushing him out to carry a mass shooting. Despite the intense peer pressure from the people pretending that they were mass murderers, Hamza resisted. He didn't even want the guns. Now his attorneys have filed a motion to get him released on bond because they say he's been set up. And the I haven't gone through all of them, but this will lay out in the courts, and this may be another, after the fact. You can beat the rap, you can't beat the ride. The arrest itself, the circus, was for a short term hurrah, getting that FBI budget, getting that next promotion, getting the people scared once again in a nice timely cyclical fashion. And so, they'll let him off, and maybe they'll pay him a few million dollars, and his good name will be righted. But most people won't remember. Most people will remember that the FBI did a great job. They're keeping us safe. We need to expand their budgets. We need to take care of them. Man, the show is flying. Some of the other stuff that's happening around here in the world of Doug, here where I live, sometimes you get so concerned, or you're following so much external stories, things that are happening across the globe, you forget to look around. Interesting story here. Judge rules Texas professors can't substantiate campus carry fears. They did something very controversial just recently here in Texas. You would think that it was probably already law, but things like open carry, where you're actually allowed, if you have a concealed carry permit, you can open carry a firearm on your holster. Businesses, any kind of business or establishment is able to opt out, put up a sign that said, holster your gun, hide it. We don't want you there showing it off. Well, they took it a step further and said, hey, look, people need guns on college campuses. And like you would think, the media erupted, people freaked out, saying that we would see this huge surge in shootings and that people that would be upset with their grades would shoot their professors. A lot of stuff that just didn't happen. So professors were suing, trying to get guns out of the classroom once again here in Texas. Federal judge in Texas has dismissed a lawsuit from three professors who claimed campus carry made them afraid to discuss controversial issues in class, lest a student rebut them with gunfire. The three University of Texas at Austin professors who filed the lawsuit, Lisa Moore, Jennifer Lynn Glass, and Mia Carter, all claimed that the law would infringe on their First Amendment rights in the classroom by making them fearful of discussing controversial issues, according to the Texas Tribune. Well, the judge said, yeah, that's bull crap. Okay, we haven't had one person shot on a campus yet from somebody that had a concealed carry license. Somebody that's, not that it couldn't happen, but, they could have no license and shoot people on a campus as well. That does happen from time to time. It's unfortunate. But people that are not in the right mind, don't necessarily obey the rules. When you go out and you decide to kill people, you're breaking a few laws along the way. Most of those people think those are pretty inconsequential, I would imagine. Or they're just, out of their mind. You have to be if you just decide that the solution for you is to shoot up a bunch of people. Well, anyway, coming September 1st, something I'm excited about, we are going to be able to carry knives once again in Texas. There used to be some arbitrary rules about blade length. You can have a 5-inch blade, but, butterfly knives, switchblades, things that I guess were kind of popular in the 80s, repopularized in the 80s and, come out of 50s Hollywood type movies, the stiletto. Switchblade. Those were outlawed. They were felonies to have these type of weapons. The Texas legislature, a couple people put together, some lawyers put together a bill to once again allow people to actually carry Bowie knives on their side, on their hip. And that was the thing, is like, this has all been a big nothing burger. I drive around Austin, Texas. I live just north in a suburb. I've seen a few people carrying a gun, open carry. Just a few. I mean, for the most part, people that want to open carry are out on a hunting ranch or maybe going to get a bite to eat, or going back to the deer camp, you know, that kind of thing. Somewhere out in the woods, in very rural areas. It's the only time that you would probably need and or want to show a weapon, to have it on your hip, you know, when you're hunting or something to the like. I understand why a police officer wants it on their hip. It intimidates, it sends a message. And so many people thought, oh my God, you know, people are going to try to intimidate and show their guns off, and it's going to be the freaking wild, wild west. You know, Texas is going to be crazy. It's going to be, you know, all these things. And we heard so much stuff here locally from all of these groups, anti-NRA groups, anti-Second Amendment folks. And they've just gone to great lengths to create this atmosphere. They are creating fear, and they are creating this absolutely unjust, you know, fear. And the law passed, and, you know, nothing's happened, really. Yeah, a few people probably wear a gun. There might be some places where it's a good idea to show off your gun. Most places you'd probably not want to – you'd want to hide it. You wouldn't want people to know that you're carrying unless, you know, you're ready to shoot them in the face. And that's why you carry the gun, just in case. Or you run up on a coyote. Well, anyway, people are freaking out about this. Oh, my God. People are going to be carrying around swords. Now that there's no law, people are going to run around with Bowie knives. And actually, it's something that, you know, I'm a big fan of, because – I don't have a really nice truck. I've got an old Toyota. I call it the Yoder. And the Yoder, you know, doesn't have an alarm system. It is completely the hipster libertarian thing to drive. You know, it's a 5-speed with no frills. So, I don't want to carry a weapon and leave it in the car, you know, because it's just not a secure location to leave anything like a gun. And but it would be nice to have something in the car. I could do the concealed carry. I just don't want to deal with all the laws and the signing up for the paperwork and going to the classes. It's just not, you know, not something that I feel I want to do, at least not currently. But it would be nice to be able to carry around a Bowie knife, you know, carry around my it's called a Boker Hunter Killer. It's like a 9-inch, it's about 11-inch blade. It looks like a Bowie knife. And people are freaking out about it. But I'm pretty excited. So just like up in Oregon, now you can eat roadkill. Pretty excited about the knife laws coming to pass here in just a few short months. So, you know, interestingly enough, I've been following some of these other stories. Study finds tiny amounts of exposure to Monsanto's Roundup damages the liver and kidneys. I was watching the Joe Rogan podcast, and he had this interesting writer from Gawker, and she wrote for a bunch of other, I think Vanity Fair, a few other sites, media establishments, and she had a pretty anti-chiropractor story, kind of tearing through the whole, you know, history of the, you know, chiropractic practice medicine and the genesis of it. And, you know, it was really enlightening, really enlightening. I didn't really know that, you know, the actual guy who came up with chiropractic medicine said that he had received these visions and all of this knowledge about the subluxations, I guess is how you say it. And I used to have a friend that was always going and getting adjusted, and he would talk about that, and just didn't have a lot of knowledge about it. But anyway, the conversation between the two of them wandered off into genetically modified organisms and GMOs and food versus organic. She was really poo-pooing the whole idea of organic is better, and that there's any, you know, problem with Roundup. And you know, she made some points that I thought were valid, you know, comparing it to like thalamide, other things that we use for pesticides, you know, 50 to 75 years ago, DEET and on, that are really horrific. And so in comparison, you know, Roundup doesn't look that bad. They've done all of these, you know, tests, and it's just the, you know, you made it sound really great. So I'm just thinking, I'm like, golly, Joe, there's just so much stuff that, you know, counters that. Hit her up with something. And if you watch that podcast, you might walk away with the idea that organic is not at all better than eating genetically modified foods. So interesting stuff out there. A lot of anti-health or perspectives being promoted. More on the other side. Quick break.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that are, I guess, you know, that they think that if you're anti-GMO, if you buy organic food, this is, you know, a stigma, or that you have some kind of disorder. They actually now have disorders for people that want to eat all organic, that, you know, can't, you know, stomach the idea, pardon the pun, of buying, you know, just regular products. And so she was trying to say, well, you know, it's not really that much more nutritious, and the amount of pesticides and whether or not there's antibiotics used on the farms, you know, the antibiotics have to, you know, leave them before they leave the farm, so blah, blah, blah. But one of the big things that I don't see a lot of people talking about is the irradiation, where the government is now mandating a lot of the produce that's coming into this country because it has E. coli, has, you know, stuff on it, be irradiated. They actually microwave this food, send it down big conveyor belts and nuke it. And that food, for whatever, you know, it may or may not do. I'm not a scientist, and we haven't been eating, you know, as a population, irradiated food for very long. So there's not a lot you can really glean from it to say, well, you know, we're living longer. That's why everybody has cancer now. It's not because, you know, almost every drop of rainwater that we have today has trace amounts of Monsanto's Roundup. Anyway, the alternative is what they're creating now. America's first free-roaming genetically engineered insects are coming to New York. Diamondback moths have been causing a lot of trouble. They are a major pain for farmers. The moths have been engineered to fight these guys by the British biotech firm Oxitec, same company last year caused a stir with its plans to release genetically modified Zika-fighting mosquitoes in the Florida Keys. The diamondback moths take a similar approach to the mosquitoes, modifying male mosquitoes to limit the population over time by passing on a gene to the offspring when it mates with wild females that causes female moths to die before they can reach maturity. So we are moving into the genetically modified world. Yeah, a lot of people worry about the chemtrails. A lot of people worry about, I don't know, you know, things like the CERN Hadron Collider and whether or not it's opening up a portal to hell. I mean, it may be. We may be here. That's what happened for a lot of people in Dimension B when Hillary Clinton lost the 2016 election. They were thinking that the Hadron Collider opened up and we found new particles and created a black hole, and all of us were sucked into it, into a world where Kim Kardashian is more popular than, I don't know, Albert Einstein, more famous and more known than renowned Nobel Prize winners. When people they don't know who Stephen Hawking is, although you know, I'm not pro Stephen Hawking by any stretch. You know, the things that he's had ALS for 50 years, you know, and I don't know. He's got the creep. They give him the creepiest computer generated voice possible. And I don't know what to make of that guy, really. But not as popular as Kim Kardashian. That was my point. Obviously, that's real news. What's Kanye doing? What's happening in Hollywood? And, well, of course, it's all pro-military stuff because there's lots of money. We've learned that tonight. Guys, thank you for the time. I appreciate it. It's kind of a lot of stream of conscience thought here on the show, which I find fun. I'll be back next Sunday for another live edition of Blacklisted Radio. I hope you will as well. Go to my website in the meantime, blacklistedradio.com. Take care.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.